Today on Real Radio.
Believe it or not, this morning you could be here today and have 20/20 physical vision and be completely blind spiritually. And let me tell you, in a church this size, I'm sure there are people who come on a faithful basis who are blind.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're examining a part of chapter 18 that records some of what the Messiah did and said as he knowingly headed toward his conviction and execution. This included healing a blind man. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Are You Willing to Receive Your Sight?
This is an amazing portion of Scripture because it has to deal with the disciples. It's always fun when Jesus interacts with his disciples and it's written down. You get to kind of have like a little private briefing. Think about it. The Bible, the Holy Spirit wrote this stuff in there. And some of the settings, it's like maybe 2,000 years ago, those that were around were saying, I wonder what they're talking about over there. Well, we get to open up our Bibles and find out what they were talking about. And then we'll quickly leave that little huddle and we'll go to what's going on in the crowd this morning. But while you're preparing for that, we're looking at a message entitled, Are You Willing to Receive Your Sight? You say, Jack, I'm completely fine. I'm not blind at all. I could use a little bit of LASIK surgery or something, but that's not the sight I'm talking about. Believe it or not, this morning you could be here today and have 20/20 physical vision and be completely blind spiritually. And let me tell you, in a church this size, I'm sure there are people who come on a faithful basis who are blind. Maybe they're doing the religious thing. Maybe they're doing the thing that just seems right or the family wants them to go to church or whatever the thing is, but they've never had their spiritual eyes open to God. It's a very important thing. You know, when Jesus speaks, in fact, the Gospels record that when he spoke, he said, I've done nothing in secret. Whatever I've taught openly for all of you. Don't you love the gospel? Don't you love our God? There's no secret handshake group. There's no secret club. There's no elite group of Christian commandos. The Bible says that the Lord esteems everyone the same. And if you view yourself as I view myself, that when I hear that he views all of us the same, I get excited because if I get to be elevated up to where you're at, I'm very happy to be with you. He loves us. And when he speaks clearly. No sleight of hand, no tricks. Communication, people say, is a big deal. It's a big thing. We do premarital counseling here at the church, and we go through a lot of stuff. Premarital counseling, we don't marry anybody without it. We're pretty strict about it because we get to ask a lot of fun questions, like things that they never think about. Because, you know, they're so starstruck in love with each other. It's hilarious to see two people in love. They come into the office, they sit down. It's a whole huge 8-foot couch, but when they come and sit down, it's like they're sitting right on the top of each other. And when she talks, he goes like this, and he's looking at her. He's watching her lips move. He's watching her eyes. You see his chest go up a little bit. And then he starts talking, and she just looks, and she's looking, and she's looking at his hands. And pretty amazing. Pretty amazing stuff. And we'll ask them questions like, where are you going to spend your first Christmas? Her parents or your parents? What? It's great. They go, what? They think, like, that's an important question? Oh, yeah. And this is a great one. How many kids are you going to have? What? 1, 5, 10? How many kids are you going to have? Yes, in these questions. And it always comes down to, you're always evaluating their ability to communicate to one another. I always ask, I don't know if this is cool or not, but I always ask, Have you had a real good argument yet? Because you can tell a lot from an argument. All the stuff comes to the top in an argument. And so I'll ask him, you know, who listens and who gets upset? Who slams the door? Who just sits there and cries? Or who's quiet for a week after the argument? All that kind of, what's it? Let's talk about your arguments. Why? Because communication's amazing. When Jesus says stuff, it's right there. You deal with it. It's clear. It's right there. You deal with it. And people want to communicate. When you are talking about a marital situation or a relationship with somebody, it always comes down to communication. Well, did you talk about it? It's important. Have you noticed today? Listen, I believe people want to communicate more than ever before. You say, Jack, I don't know about that. Oh, no, I'll prove it. I'll prove it. Why have we settled for this type of communication? Are we not a generation of texters? Hey, what do you want to eat? Text me. Email me. Hey, how about this stuff? Drives me crazy. I think it's nuts. Boy, am I going to show my age here in a moment. But all this stuff about chat rooms, what's with chat rooms? Well, you know, we're just communicating. Facebook. People talking with other people, stuff on Facebook that their husbands and wives don't even know about what they're talking about. And then what's the other thing? MySpace. MySpace, this space, whose space, who cares? I don't know. All this communication going on the surface, right? A lot of it. But how serious are we about really communicating? And so, I don't know, this is just my corny way of thinking, but you want to, trust me, as a Christian, you want to get into a chat room? Jesus says, go into your closet and close the door and pray and chat with God. Okay, that's a cool chat room. And then the other thing is, Facebook. Take your face and put it in the book. Facebook. Do that. Why? It's all about communication. All about communication. And then, Lord, your space is my space. My space is your space. Because you can't have this stuff in the world and have a straw man of communication. It's all fake. Amen. Who are you? I'm this. How do you know the guy's telling you his name? And you know, how old are you? 25? Uh-huh. Right. Want to meet? No. But Pastor, I'm going to lead this guy to the Lord. You know what? Let the Lord lead the guy to the Lord. That kind of stuff gets goofy, man. Goofy. Put your face in the book, chat with God, and let him come into your space. It's all about communication. Why is that important? Because look with me, chapter 18, verse 31. It just blows my mind. It's incredible. Verse 31. Then he, Jesus, took the 12, that's the disciples, aside and said to them, okay, briefing, off to the side, huddle. He calls them over from a huge crowd of people. And he says to them, behold, the word means look, open your eyes. We are going up to Jerusalem and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. That's why the title of this message is, are you willing to receive your sight? Because you can have eyeballs that really don't work. You can have 20/20 vision in the visual spectrum of this world and be completely blind to the frequency regarding the things of God. Jesus pulls the disciples over. Mark it. It's amazing. They're down in the Jordan River Valley and Jesus is heading to Jerusalem for the very last time. He's got an appointment. He's heading to his death. And from the, listen, Jordan River Valley, you ascend up on the Jericho Road. You've all heard that before. He's going to be heading up in that direction, leaving Jericho. The Jordan River is behind him. Now he begins to leave Jericho. He ascends up, and the peak of the mountains of the Judea area, that when he gets to the top, he's going to get to Jerusalem. And then downhill from there, you keep going downhill, and you go right straight today through Tel Aviv and into the beautiful blue Mediterranean. So Jesus is heading west. The Jordan River is behind him. Mark it in your mind, from that eastern route coming out of the Far East, there is a flood of people heading to Jerusalem for Passover. Hundreds of thousands of people from the north out of Turkey and Eastern Europe. They're coming down through the area of Lebanon today, and they're heading south to Jerusalem because Passover's coming. And then there's another incredible amount of people coming up out of North Africa from Egypt, heading north, and they're going to go along the Via Maris, the way of the sea, heading to Jerusalem, until Jerusalem is swollen with about 3 million worshipers during Passover every year in the time of Christ. And so Jesus pulls the disciples over and he gives them a little briefing and he says, listen up, look, that's what the word behold is, look. And the look means think. You guys all know this. He's not saying look with your eyes. Look, open your heart and look at this. I'm going to Jerusalem. Everything written in the prophets is about to be fulfilled regarding the cross and all of that. So mark it down if you would. Verse 31, it's a simple point and we'll move on to other things. That are you willing to receive your sight this morning? Then open up your mind. Because what God invites you to do is use your brain about being a believer. Because God wants to speak to you. Jesus pulls them off to the side to speak to them. Why? Because he's faithful. He's wonderful. He wants them to know. Isn't he the shepherd? He's the great shepherd. Jeremiah 3:15 says, I will give you shepherds. That's under shepherds. Pastors is the word that we use in the English. I will give you pastors according to my heart, God says, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's the job of a pastor, to feed the church with knowledge and understanding of God's word. Jesus is the ultimate pastor, and he's telling his disciples, this is what's coming up. That's good. Amos chapter 3, verse 7 says, unless he, or surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. God wants to speak to his people. You want to have the communication with God. That's vital. Secondly, we want to open up our minds and think about this challenge that he's laying before us, because he says, behold, that all things that are written in the prophets concerning the Son of Man, that's a title of himself. Jesus is lifting that title, by the way, from two very key prophetic books of the Bible. The Son of Man, Jesus is lifting that from the book of Ezekiel and the book of Daniel. And every Jew in the audience understood what Jesus meant. Wow, he's equated himself as the Son of Man. That is the Messiah. And Jesus said, what's written in the word is going to be accomplished. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, listen to this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That is, the Bible says of itself, it is without error, and it is absolutely applicable to your life right now, today. Today. The Bible also says Jesus in his declaration confirms what Hosea said. Hosea 12:10 says, I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions, and I have given symbols through the witness of the prophets. Jesus Christ is standing there and he's explaining to his disciples once again, I am going to have the prophecies of the scripture fulfilled in my life. You'll see it happen. And that's a very encouraging thing. And then also this, before we move off of this introductory point, is that we want to open up our minds because we want to be encouraged. God wants to encourage us. Jesus says, listen, church, be encouraged. It's all about concerning the Son of Man and that it will be accomplished. God's word. I love that. God cannot lie, says the Bible. God says, I esteem my word higher than my own name. The Bible says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. I have two really cool things here. First of all, when the word says sharper than any two-edged sword, a double-edged sword is an interesting thing. This is an equivalent to what is the Greek makaira. In Roman combat in first century Rome, the soldier, the Roman centurion, would have a makaira. And what he would do is that he would have this strapped on his body. He would never pull it out unless he was going to kill somebody. You never pulled it out unless you were in close combat. Watch this. When the Bible says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God, it uses the word Makaira. You are to use the Makaira in your life, the exact Word of God, for the specific purpose in your life. For example, if you're being tempted with lust, it is fruitless, powerless for you to quote Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. Are you with me? If you're being tempted with anger, you don't quote Genesis 1:1. You quote the verse that applies to your issue. That's using the Word of God rightly, the Makaira. Okay, you with me? The Word of God also tells us regarding Jesus Christ that He is the Word, and this is a Roman broadsword. Isn't it amazing? This is a heavy piece of material here. And if you saw Russell Crowe coming at you from a distance, if you were in war, he would be swinging this thing, and he would almost look like a blender coming at you. And there's a way that they had this thing to be swung in such a way that if you were approaching a Roman soldier, you would be terrified. Because the way that they did it was that they utilized both sides of this double-edged sword. Very, very important, very powerful picture of the Word of God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ Himself is the Word of God. I say that to encourage you because here is the Word of God standing in the flesh, speaking to His disciples, saying the very Word of God will be completely fulfilled regarding the Word of God, the bread of life that has come into the world. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, "Do not think that I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. I've come to fulfill." The Bible is written all about Jesus. Isaiah 55:8-11 tells us that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, that His thoughts are beyond our thoughts, and that God's ways are not our ways, but His ways are past finding out. And he goes on to say there that as He causes the rain and the snow to fall from the heavens and to blanket the earth with moisture so that the ground breaks forth into budding and blossoming of flowers. Have you seen the hills? Have you driven from Chino Hills to Diamond Bar, and you go through that incredible little piece of paradise? You see the lupins, you know, the purple lupins sprouting? You see the orange wild California poppies? Now, if you were painting your house, would you paint your house purple and orange? That's a sick thought, isn't it? But you know what God does? God causes rain to come down. He blankets the earth with green, beautiful velvety grass, and then He takes purple and orange and He sprinkles it over the hills, and you drive by and you go, ooh, only God can mix those colors together right. If I did it, it would look horrible. And then He says, I have sent my word out and it will perform exactly that thing for which I've sent it. And it will never return to me void, God's word. It's so fun being able to proclaim God's word because the power is not in any of us. The power is not being an evangelist or a pastor. The evangelist or the pastor or the Christian should know where the power lies, and that is the Holy Spirit who uses the word of God. Amen. That's the issue. And Jesus is giving them the word. Here's the bummer. They don't want to hear it. And you say, well, Pastor, those disciples, they were really something, those bad guys. Hey, listen, you and I are just like that. God will show us and tell us something, and we'll start whistling and look the other way, like we didn't hear Him. Oh, I really want that thing. God, do you want me to have this thing? Okay, He does. He wants me to have this thing. And you don't have any peace about it, and you didn't get a yes from God about it, and then you get the thing, and then it really winds up making you sick, and you're all upset about it, and then you wish you didn't have it. All because, listen, we don't want to hear what He might say. Well, listen, it is absolutely vitally important that we understand that God's word is given to encourage us even when we don't understand it. Keep that in mind. It will be accomplished, what God has written. Point number two this morning is verses 32 to 34. We want to open up, listen, not only our minds, but this is vital. You can't do one without the other. Open up your mind, my friend. If you're a doubter, if you're a skeptic, open up your mind to what God says. Number two, open up your heart. You can't really be a real, true, blue, living human being without opening up your mind, that is using your mind and your heart. God will put those two things together. By honestly looking at the evidence, verse 32 is absolutely one of the most amazing verses in the Bible, and here's the reason why. Verse 32, Jesus speaks, and He says, mark it down, take notes. He says, For, the word means because. The word of God is going to be accomplished, verse 31. Because, verse 32, here it is, mark it. Number one, he will be delivered to the Gentiles. Church, did that happen? Yes. Not only is it recorded in the Bible, it's recorded in Roman history. It's recorded by unbelieving historians. Jesus Christ was delivered into the hands of the Roman powers. The cool thing is, Jesus is telling the disciples before it happens. Number two, he will be mocked. Was he not mocked? The Bible says that he would be insulted. Next one, number three, insulted. Made fun of, ridiculed. If you're the king, come down from the cross. Remember they made fun of him? Did that happen? Yes. Number four, spit upon. They spit on him. And I'm not talking some little lady spit. It was a horrible scene. And then look at number five, found in verse 33. And they will scourge him. Notice Jesus is speaking, by the way, in the third person. He says they will scourge him. You want to know why? In theological terms, you know why he's doing that? The Holy Spirit is speaking through him a prophetic word.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called Are You Willing to Receive Your Sight? It's a look at Luke's New Testament account, chapter 18 and verses 31 through 43, part of our teacher's verse-by-verse journey through this eyewitness narrative, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, a reminder of what we're currently offering here on Real Radio, Pastor Jack's DVD series, Saints, Sex, and Sinners. Now, it's no secret that we live in quite the sexually charged age. Sexual immorality in its various forms is actually praised and celebrated. But what about the church? Certainly things must be different in the professing church, right? Well, these and other issues are dealt with in this DVD series from the scriptural worldview. In fact, here's Pastor Jack to tell us more about this series. Pastor Jack?
Well, thanks, Mike. And you know, what we're talking about in this little mini-series entitled Saints, Sex, and Sinners is the fact that political correctness is nothing new. Well, we learn in this series that at the church at Corinth, they were allowing, that is the church leadership and the body of Christ at Corinth, they were allowing sexual immorality to be conducted among their members. They didn't rebuke it, they didn't deal with it, and they spun it, Mike, as tolerance, that they were a gracious church, that they were a loving church, that they were a very tolerant church. And what they had really fallen into, Paul points it out vividly, was, in a sense, political correctness. And in our little mini-series, Paul addresses how a church leadership should deal with this and how a church itself should keep itself from sexual immorality. And so for all these reasons and more, we want to make available to you what we're studying right here at church, and that is the book of Corinthians and this three-part series of Saints, Sex, and Sinners. How should leadership deal with sexual immorality among the saints? What does the Bible say regarding church discipline? And how should all of us walk in the fear of the Lord when it comes to how to conduct ourselves in the house of God? And so I encourage all of you to get a copy of this series, and I think it will strengthen your walk. It will certainly generate conversation. And Mike, you can tell the people how they can obtain their own copy.
Yes, indeed. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send you the DVD series Saints, Sex, and Sinners. You can call, click, or write if you prefer. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know just what to do. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Radio. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.